what I was mentioning to the children, I'd like to read you that quote from Alec Motier. He's a really wonderful scholar in the Bible, very approachable. You hear the word scholar sometimes and you feel like it's a high up kind of a thing, and the person is kind of, you know, distant and too smart to approach, but he's very approachable because he knows the Lord and he writes with such appreciation of God's word. And I've gained so much from him. So Alec Motier says this: the church is a worldwide company, worldwide, from every nation and people, drawn together by the magnetic power of the word of God. Here again, the church is a worldwide company from every nation and people, drawn together by the magnetic power of the word of God. So this magnetic power we were talking about with the magnet is one that is drawing us in today into God's word. And he's inviting us with his amazing love to listen to what he has to say to us and to bless us with. Okay. I'm going to quote something else by him a little bit later, but let's turn to God's word today. It's found in chapter 2 of Isaiah. Isaiah was a voice of God to the people in his time. Remember, it actually in chapter 2, he has not yet said to God, send me, I will go, right? Because God asked, who will go to my people and tell them a very difficult judgment that I have for them? And Isaiah was that person who said, yes, Lord, I will go. But at this point, he's talking about something to people who are actually very far away from God. They're living in a way that is not pleasing to God. They're worshiping other gods. They're caught up in idolatry. They're not listening and they're not feeling that pull of God to come to him and to worship him. They're being drawn away by other gods in their society. And that's what is happening still today in our world. People are drawn away from God, even though he has such an appealing and wonderful and beautiful magnetic power to draw us in. But the power of God is greater than that than the powers that are in this world. The Bible teaches us that as well. And so the word begins in verse 1, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So he did not speak that so much as he saw the word concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And so he saw this word that God had for the people there. Because we are sitting here as believers in God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we are also hearing this word that Isaiah spoke to them at that time. And he goes on and says that it shall come to pass, talking of a future day, in the latter days, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And we are all recipients of that today. We're receiving this word because it speaks of all the nations shall flow to it. So just think for a moment, unless you have forgotten, you know, we belong to those people, to those nations that have responded to that word. And we are here today because of that, because God's word has gone out to us. And we are members of those nations that he was speaking about way, way back in time, at this time, to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And you know, we've been looking at flags from different countries that all of you are from, or either in your background or physically being born there. And so those are also included in the nations that God is drawing to himself. So wherever you're from, that is one of the nations that is receiving this, and all the nations, including the nation that you came from and the one that you live in now, shall flow to it. Right? So it's very beautiful, powerful imagery. And it's the great mountain, right? The mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest, and it will be lifted up above the hills. Right? And so today we receive that as a message that God is doing that now, but we also are looking into the future, right? We're really talking about Mount Zion. And Mount Zion refers to many different things that we're all having to do with the same thing, which is God, right? Mount Zion is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is referred to as Zion. And also heaven is referred to as Zion. So if you hear Zion, you can think of this power of heaven that is awaiting us, and it's this coming in the latter days, right? So it's latter days for the people of Isaiah in his time. They were going to see something happen in their time, and then there's something greater that is going to happen beyond that, and then there's going to be something that happens beyond that, right? And so we have the time of Isaiah, and they're looking forward to a time when God is going to free them, right, from weeping and all of these different things. And he's going to restore on this Mount Zion. He's going to have the temple, and people are going to be drawn to it. And then beyond that, it's pointing to the temple, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be coming, right? And he represents that future day, that latter day, in his first coming, and we celebrate that at Christmas. And then beyond that, the time that we're in now, we're looking forward to his return. Amen. So that's where we are in this kind of a place. So there's, you can see, you know, whether Isaiah really took it in or not, we don't know, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit that gave him great insight into the future. And that was what God is all about. Giving people, even though they have sinned against him, he's coming to, he's talking to people who are worshiping other gods. Right? Not all of them. There was a remnant that were still believing, but he was talking to them with hope. And that is what we're talking about in Advent, that God comes to us and gives us hope in times of trouble, in times of sin, when we've done things wrong. There is still hope. His forgiveness is one of the biggest things that I remember in my life. Is it yours as well? The feeling that, oh man, I messed up, but God loves me, and he's going to restore me, and he sent his son to die for me so that could be possible. And that's why I gave my life to him, because he filled me with hope. He filled me with love. He filled me with peace of knowing that that fight that Satan is so trying so hard to bring about, the separation between me and God, was broken by Jesus Christ because he's my Savior. I know he's yours as well. So here we have this scene, right? And it's very, very dramatic. The latter days, the house of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, will be established as the highest one. And that is what we're talking about. In the midst of all the idolatry, all these fake gods, no one is greater than God. His is the mountain that is above them all. And that's what he wants to say here to these people. And it's a voice going out to them and telling them these things. And it's also instilling hope in them and saying that all the nations are going to come to it. So this also is including the Jews and everyone else, the Gentiles, all the nations, right? And so this would have been something new for those people at that time, the people of God were taught that we are the people of God, we are his children, right? But God is expanding that and saying that all the nations are going to come and flow to this house of the Lord. And so he envisioned a mountain, the name Zion, which is like the Sinai. Now Sinai is where the law was given to Moses, right? For out of Zion shall go forth instruction. The Bible teaches. And so Mount Zion, someone very wise wrote, Mount Zion renews and enlarges the message of Sinai. It speaks of establishing shalom. When I think of shalom, I think of two things. First, Anthony Yanwari. And then secondly, the peace that he's talking about, which is found in the Lord. Right? So this shalom is found through the establishing of the hand of God throughout the whole world. And he went on to say this, the way of shalom, the way of peace, is the path of Torah, which is the law, the word of God, whose teaching of righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's rule in the universe. Let me say that again, because it's kind of long. The way of shalom, the way of peace, God's peace, is the path of Torah, the word of God. The Torah is the law of God. That is the word of God, whose teaching of righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's rule in the universe. Righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, someone said it this way, which I think really captures it. Having a heart for others. That's relatable, isn't it? The righteousness of God is having a heart for other people. Now, I never looked at it that way. But I really like that because it draws us into something that is we can grasp, you know, something that we can hold on to and understand. And that's what God is all about. His righteousness is not something that distances himself from us. In a way it does, because he's so great, right? But he is righteous in the way that it was just explained, and having a heart for others, in that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, so that we would not have to die. He loves us so much. His righteousness is displayed truly in that, that he loves us, that his heart is for us. And because we are touched by that love, we respond in turn with love for him. And that's really what life is all about. We don't see each other during the week very much, right? We see each other here, and I can see you, and then afterwards we'll come together. But God desires for us to have a time with each person in our church to share our hearts, to share the love that he has given to us with other people, so that we have a heart for other people. And therein, we are showing the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God was at work there, right? Righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's rule in the universe. Without righteousness, this was also pretty important this week for me to read this, that without righteousness, the world falls apart. Without God's righteousness, it's not just like saying, God, you are a righteous God. I'm living my life today. I'm going to work every day. I'm taking care of my kids every day. I'm taking care of my parents every day. I'm doing all these different things every day. And you're a righteous God. No, it's, I am a righteous God, and I'm holding all of the world and your world together. My righteousness is the foundation of this world that you're living in. So that when you get on a train to go to New York, my righteousness is at work in your life there. I am there present with you. When you are doing something in school, my righteousness is at work in your life. My heart is in you. My investment of myself is in you. My righteousness is powerful, and it's giving you the blood that runs through your veins. My righteousness is at power, is showing its power through your ability to play a violin, to be able to play a piano, to be able to paint a picture, to be able to do a scientific experiment, to be able to do a math problem, to be able to come up with a design for something in a building. My righteousness is at work. Can we hear that? Can we hear that today and receive that? That my life is an example of God's righteousness at work in this world. And that is our witness. That it is not we ourselves who are the ones who have done the things that we're doing, but there is a God at work in my life, and I love him because he is a righteous God, and he's a just God, and he brings about those things that are just. And I'll show you how. It's through Jesus Christ, my Savior, who died a very painful death for me and rose again, a righteous God, a righteous Savior, so that the world can be saved and the nations can come to him. Amen. The nations can come to him. And brothers and sisters, this is not something new for us. It has been going on in our church, and God has been taking us in this direction for a long time. It is not just we who are going to be gathering here, but he is gathering people into our church. And we just have to take a look around and look at the flags to see that we have different nations here. And you're talking, I mean, you're looking at a guy from Glenridge, New Jersey, this little town here in this place here, but I'm also included in that. The nation that I'm part of is one that is with all of you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Don't you ever live a day without remembering that you are blessed, and you are blessed by God in many different ways, but one of the big ways is by the brothers and sisters that you're sitting next to right now. Praise God. Praise God for Grace Church. Praise God for every member, right? Because righteousness is present, instead of saying that if the righteousness of God is not present, the word has no future, we say because the righteousness of God is present, the earth has a future. You know, I forgot to tell the kids earlier, I can tell them now. That's the beauty of, you know, talking after the message. Some more. The earth is one of the greatest examples of magnetism. It has all the minerals, it has all those metals built into the structure of the earth that speaks of the magnetism that God has created. The earth is one of the greatest examples, the biggest examples of magnetism, and that points to God as pulling us in. The earth, not just the planet, the physical, but the one that is inhabited by human beings, is a place that is purposed for magnetism, drawing in, bringing together. And that is the peace that we see burning in front of us on that candle. It's a peaceful feeling when we look at it and we feel warm, but it's more than that. It is a peace that is established through God's love, bringing people together. Amen? So we go on. Many people shall come, it says in verse 3. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Come, come with me. That's what we need to say to people. And you're standing on good ground. You're standing on firm ground when you say that, because it's right here in God's word. You don't say like, come on, come on, come on, with me to church. Okay? If you're not busy, I mean, I know you're busy, but you can come to church if you want. Come with me. Come with me. Go to the place where life is found, where there's a righteous God. Let me show you. It's at work in the righteousness that he's made in the people of God here in my church. Let me show it off. Let me show you him. Come with me and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob. Come to Grace Church with me. Right? That is the firm command here. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Come on, everybody. Learn that he may teach us his ways. That he may teach us his ways. Come here. And you're like, I gotta learn again? I just learned all week. You're gonna tell me to learn? Yeah, but you didn't learn his ways. That he would teach us his way, this God that is the one without whom we would be lost, without whom the earth would be destroyed, and is going to have one day a destruction, and there's going to be a new earth coming. Without God, we would be lost, so of course we want to learn more from him. Of course we want to learn more, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his path. That we would walk in his paths. And so Mr. Moyer, that I quoted earlier, says this: come, learn, and live. Come, learn, and live, that we may walk in his paths. That's the living. We do it. We come here, we learn, we're taught, we go out, we live. And the mission is also mentioned here: for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. For out of Zion shall go forth from the law. Go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so they are here and they're looking at themselves and they're learning from God, and then they're told to go out. So it's come. What comes next?
Learn
and live. Come, learn, and live. The word of the Lord goes forth. And so that means that we have to have the word of the Lord on our lips. And we have to tell people, come. Come here. You come. You come with me. And then they come and they learn about the gospel. They learn about Jesus. They learn about the things that they need so that they can live. So that they're not going to be destroyed. So they're not going to be living in unrighteousness in their lives anymore. They will come to the light and they will come to the righteous God, and they'll know how to live righteously. And man, you know, it might seem like there's a lot of wickedness, and I know that there is a lot of wickedness in the world, but I also know that there are people that are led astray and they really get into trouble and they don't know how to get out of it. But the way to get out of it, everybody, is by coming to God. I remember very clearly there was a guy in our church who He's not just a guy, he's a friend of ours. He told us when he came to church with his wife and his two boys, and he said one day they have been gone, they have been away from church, and they've been staying away from church, and they were kind of wandering around, and they really hit some times where they needed direction and they really didn't know what to do. And he said to his wife, it's time to go back to church. And they went back to church, and you know what he's doing now? He's the pastor of a Chinese church. So a person who's away from church and they're staying away and thinking, I don't want to be hurt there. I don't want these different things. And all of, you know, everybody has different reasons for not going to church. But one day he came to his senses and the Holy Spirit spoke to him, and God's magnetism of the love that he had and the righteousness that he possessed for the problems that the guy had in his life were too great to resist. And he gave in and he said, I'm going to church. And they went back and they participated in church and they learned the word of God. He and his wife are working together. Their life was hard and it continues to be hard, but they're in the right place. We need people to be going to church, being prepared, and then to go out and serve and bring the gospel to all the nations. And if you want to read it, it's right there today in chapter 2. Many people shall come and say, come. Many peoples shall say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob, that he may teach us. You want to be a leader in life? You want to be a good leader wherever you are, in your family, in your company, in your school? You want to be a good leader in society? You need to have a heart that is teachable. You have to have a heart that is teachable. You have to be willing to admit that you don't know something. And you need to realize as soon as possible in your life that when you do that, you're going to succeed. Because the world is looking to see who are going to be the great leaders. Who are they going to follow? They're going to follow somebody who comes and hits them and says, follow me. Or they're going to follow somebody who says, let's learn together. Let me show you my faults. Let me teach you through the failures that I have made, the things that I have experienced. Let me share that with you so that you can gain from that and you'll be prepared, equipped for life to live it that way. And that's what God does. He gives us his word so that we can be equipped to live in this world. That we may walk in his paths. We live it out. And we're walking with him. The Bible said that Enoch was a man who walked with God. How is your walk with God? It's so simple, isn't it? You say, Lord, I want to walk with you. That is a humble spirit, saying, Lord, I want to walk with you. I know Enoch was this guy who was taken away to heaven. He didn't even die. It was physically, he was just brought up into heaven. And I know that's true. But Lord, I want to walk with you too. I want to show you my allegiance to you because you are righteous and kind and good and peace-giving. And you give me hope for my life, love. That's what I want. I want to be with you. God of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we go out. We read that quote again from Alec Moker. The church is a worldwide company from every nation and people drawn together by the magnetic power of the word of God. We are drawn by this. That's the church. It's drawn by the word of God. And then he says this, he will teach us his ways. They will see in his teaching the transforming spirit of righteousness and the wise law of justice to change them and their world. What is your world like? What's the world that you belong to when you leave here? What's your world here? Right? They will see in his teaching, in the word of God, the transforming spirit of righteousness. It's a transforming spirit. And the wise law of justice to change them and their world. You will be changed by God, and therefore those in your life will be transformed because they're with you. It affects that. We begin to learn what it means to love other people, right? Having a heart for other people. And there's nobody on the face of this earth that is excluded. I was telling a story about someone that I know, and the person was saying, talking about them, you know, they need the Lord. And the wife said about her husband, it'll never happen. Do you believe that?
No.
I reject that. Do you?
Exactly.
Because it says right here that there's hope.
Yeah.
Drawn into the light. Drawn into the power, who can resist the power of the kindness, the gentleness God provides to us. Don't ever say something like that. Don't ever, ever say it's impossible for that person to know the Lord. And I've heard it before. I heard another person in a church talk about a neighbor of ours that I said was living opposite us, and they knew them, and they said, never going to happen. Never come to the Lord. How can you say that? That isn't what God says. He says, I want all people to come to me. And it begins with me. What if someone said that about me? It's never going to happen for him. What kind of a message does it sound? What kind of a message are you giving? Oh, they're lost. But we say that because we don't have eyes of faith. We don't have eyes like Abraham, who saw life through the eyes of faith. He saw with eyes that could not see physically, but he saw in faith. Do you have faith in God that he can do anything? We need to have faith that God can save anyone. His power is so great and his love is so great. Right? Let me read you one last thing from Mocher. He said this, to come, to learn, and to live is still the test of the church for public response. To come, to learn, and to live is still the test of the church for public response. The public is watching. And they're watching to see, are we going to church? Are we attending? Are we learning the word of God? And are we living it? That's the test. When we're not doing one of those things or all of them, then they see it. Why do I have to go when you're not? And it speaks more than that. It speaks of our relationship with God. The test of the church for public response. Each of these actions are affirmative and substantive. They hold water. They're real. All of these things. Come, learn, live, go out. And they embrace being and doing. They embrace being. You are a Christian, but you're also doing Christianity. Spirit and law. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit. Right? And righteousness and justice. All those things are encapsulated here in these verses for us today. It's an amazing, amazing chapter in the Bible that we need to learn from today. It goes on in verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many people. And so what's the effect of going out there and being around, changing your world? You're a Christian. You have been given eternal life. You have been given the righteousness of God inside of you to exhibit to other people. And your world is being changed by it, right? And so God goes and in you and through us and through the church, he judges between the nations and shall decide disputes righteously, coming to decide disputes, right? Peaceably, because he says they will what? They will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But the word of God, because they're working Christians and they bring that into their world, then that is the result of the peace. I'm laying down my arms. I'm not going to be mad at you anymore. I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm not going to use a gun anymore. Man, does our world in the United States need this today? God, help us. I don't care what situation you've been put in. Put down the gun. Who do you think you are pointing a gun at me? Who do you think you are picking up a gun and shooting people and killing innocent children that are standing by playing in a playground? What is going on? We have to come to God. We need to give that message to the world. There's a lot of laws and there's a lot of things that people are fighting for and they're all good, but the really biggest thing is the heart. And sacrifice, sacrificing what you want for the sake of mankind. That is living out righteousness in the world, isn't it? Today we were reading 11, and we heard in 11:6 of Isaiah, the wolf shall go with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. That is an example of peace, isn't it? And that's what happens with God's word. It works in people, it works in us, and we see the righteousness of God. We read that Jesus draws us unto himself. He was hanging on a cross, and he drew people into himself through the love that he expressed that way. Those words, by the way, are on a sculpture that's outside of the United Nations in New York City. There's a sculpture there that has a person that is making a plow in, you know, out of weapons. And it's right there, right in New York City. And all before us, it would be great if we could do that. The last word that comes from chapter 2, verse 5, O house of Jacob, come, again this word, come, to do what? Let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's walk in the light of the Lord. Light is sown, it says in Psalm 97, verse 11, light is sown for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount really fulfills all of these things that are spoken of in Isaiah and all through the Old Testament, right? Doesn't he? Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. What is your world? Be the light in it. Be the light in it. Right? Come in with your light. Go into situations that you see around and explore. I was on the phone with my sister Elaine the other day, and we pray together. We talk and we pray together as often as we can. And when I was sitting there listening to her speak to me, I heard this voice that I've heard ever since I was a little boy. And she was always in my life at that time, and we're still friends. And I heard in her voice suddenly this incredibly God-filled voice of love and care. And she had no idea that she was doing it because she was talking to me, but it was in the voice of my sister that God touched my heart through the Holy Spirit so that I knew that he existed. We need to take time to appreciate the people in our lives. The voice that we want to hear of a loved one, of a sister, a brother, a mother, a father, a relative, people like that in our lives, that when we hear that voice, say, God, thank you for that voice that you brought into my life. Can you think of yourself in that kind of a way as God witnesses someone else, that when they hear your voice, they're going to feel that God is real and that he is love, and that I know because you are there for me, that I know that I have hope in my life. God, bless all of you with that. Bless God bless all of you with that awareness that your voice is one that is given to you so that you would have an effect on the hearts of people in your lives, so that your world can feel the power of God in this world, so that you say, this world is going to pass away, but I'm going to heaven, man, and I'm going to be with my King, and I'm going to praise him forever. So he's powerful great enough to make an earth that is filled with magnetism in its core to teach us about his drawing power of love. And he's also powerful enough to work in the voice of a sister who you're just plain happy to hear on the other end of the phone. That's what life's about. And that's what God is about. I'm going to read you some verses here from 2 Corinthians 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 3, 4, and 6. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness when he created the universe, has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, learning, the word of God, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so it's Jesus, the word of God. Amen. I am the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Jesus Christ, he is the one we're talking about here. Word of the Lord, Jesus, relationship, God coming into our lives. Learning about him, learning not just Bible verses to commit to memory, learning how to love people like Jesus, learning how to come into a situation in our lives, every relationship, every niche and corner of our lives, the people that we know, in every situation, and to act in love. That is what we learn. That is what we learn from him. Right? And so, brothers and sisters, we are to come. We are to learn. And we are to walk in the way of the Lord, living out. And then we are to go and tell the nations about the salvation through our walk and through the message that we have learned. There's a heaven coming, and these are words in the distance spoken by Isaiah, but we are to live our lives now. Abraham, it says in Hebrews, had a vision and he had a purpose that was in the future before his eyes, so that no matter what situation he faced, he knew that God had that purpose in mind for him. Live life like that. No matter what you're facing, whatever situation, whatever you're in your life, whatever your world is doing, keep your eyes directed on Jesus. Keep them there, fixed there. And remember that he is at work in you. And everything that is going on in that situation, that world, he is using you as his light. Walk in his light. Walk, practicing, exploring. Look at a person that you've looked at very infrequently in a new way and spend time with them. Take a chance. Take a chance. And let God work through you. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this word today. And we thank you, Father, for it. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us in our church to remember these words. And God, thank you for moving us. Thank you for being such a kind and gracious God. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we consider these words today for our own lives, that you'll help us through your Holy Spirit to apply them. And that, Lord, that we will go out from this place filled with joy in knowing that you have this purpose in our lives to bring Jesus and his light to others. Thank you for the peace that we can have today on this Advent Sunday. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.